Such bring such words. Why don't you give him a hand this morning? And it's such a blessing to be able to still gather in the midst of everything that's going through in our world, in our environment. It's still good to gather and worship. You know, there's just something about gathering together. And I hope that you, my prayer to this morning is that you will feel welcome, you will feel accepted, but also that you will have an encounter with Jesus today. So that is my prayer today. And as you know, Pastor Tony and Cheryl are away on holidays for a couple of weeks, a well-deserved holiday, I may say. Now, they're supposed to go in some exotic place or whatever, but it's obviously because of restrictions there, just went to their favourite place. And yeah, so I know they're probably watching online right now, so I must behave myself. But when I want to give you all a warm welcome today. So, you know, it's always an honour to be sharing God's word with you. Whenever I get here, I don't take it lightly, but it's always good to be sharing word of God with you. But before I do that, I just want to give acknowledgement to a great man that we've sort of lost. He was one of the heroes of the faith. And I don't know if you know Pastor John Lewis, but he's a great man of God, a faith-filled man that we lost, obviously, in heaven's gain. And we just want to acknowledge him. Pastor John Lewis is a great man of God and part of the movement of the ACC, which is the Australian Christian Churches, which we are a part of. And so I just want to say acknowledgement and condolences to the family. So why don't we just pray? Father, I pray for your peace and your love and surrounding the family today, for Val, Lord God, wherever they are, Lord, in this grieving and mourning process, that, Father, you would be with them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I want to share with you a thought that's been brewing in my heart for quite some time. It's a thought that's not popular. It's a word that's not highly used. You probably won't hear it very often. But it's a word that's very important in our lives today. And at the end of my sermon, there's a couple sounds, there's two sounds you might have that your heart will have. It's either ah or ooh. Now, we did that exercise last week when Pastor Tony was preaching about the series in discipleship and disciples. So that's kind of the word or the sound that you might have in your heart today as I finish this sermon. But before I do that, I want to ask you a question. How many sermons have you heard, whether online or in auditorium, give or take, workshops, conferences, wherever you are, how many sermons have you heard? And if you're new in church today, you know, you probably heard people talking about or some things of the Bible. So how many sermons have you heard? Lots. I'm sure you have heard a plethora of sermons. And I have known Jesus for 27 years, so give or take, I would have heard lots, probably 1,600 to 2,000 sermons. And this is a sound that you might have, as I ask you the second question. How many of those truths have we become? How many of those truths have we become? You know, we are always here and we are always learning, but not always coming to the truth. And my question is, how can people listen and yet not hear a word that's being said? Why am I asking this question, you might ask? I tell you why. Because when I read in the Bible, in the New Testament, something drastically happens when people hear the gospel of good news, something happens. And some people left, right, there and there to follow Jesus. Then there's a woman at the well. He told the whole town about Jesus. Come and see the man who told me everything that's happened to me. Others got healed. Some got so mad that they picked up rocks and stoned Jesus. Now, I'm not asking you to stone me today. There's no rocks on the floor. But what I do ask is that you will have your heart open today, And that your heart will be soft today, because God wants to fill your heart today with hope. God wants to fill your heart today with encouragement. But in today's society, though, more often than not, when a sermon is finished, people get up, they go to lunch, or they might even have a nap when they get home. Any nappers out there? You know, God is not just a concept. God wants to be in relationship with you. And if you are new in this building today, God wants to get to know you better. He wants to have a relationship with you. So today, whether you're online, my prayer is that the seed of this message, whether you're going to watch this in 2 weeks' time, 3 years' time or whatever, and even right now as you gather here, that the seeds of this message will penetrate your heart and soul, and that will bring fruit. So the word I believe God has given me to share with you is repentance. I told you it's not popular. I told you it's not something that we hear often. I don't have a fancy title for you. But you know, as human beings, we don't want to entertain the thought that we are bad or we're doing something wrong. We just want to think everything is okay. But we're going back to basics. Pastor Tony's been preaching about disciple, and that's a basic. And we want you to know that in the season we're in, that not that we haven't been preaching all those fundamental, foundational truths of the Bible, but we are going back to basics so that you know that God is still doing miracles. He still wants to be in relationship with you. He's not a distant God, like others would have think they are. And he's not just one of those gods that will just punish you and just wants to do something to you and stop the joy that you're having because, you know, that's what, you know, people think God is. And so what I want to share with you this morning is that there's no judgment here. The message is not to make you feel guilty. There's no condemnation here. There's none of that. I just believe God is reminding us that repentance is a word that you need not to be scared of. That repentance comes with so much freedom, so much broader. It broadens our life. It opens up our life. You know, we've been talking about, as I said to you, that about disciple, and a mark of a fully devoted follower of God or disciple is to live a life of repentance. God's calling us to repentance. You know, Jesus did not call us to be Christians. Have a look at your Bible. It doesn't say that. He calls us to be disciples. And did you know that Jesus' first sermon in humanity is to repent? For the kingdom of God is near. I read a quote this week, and it's a sobering thought. It says, "If a man preaches grace without repentance, he succeeds only in causing many to march toward hell with complete peace." What a sobering thought that is. You know, the world is full of people, and may I be bold in saying that churches can be full of people who are marching towards hell with complete peace. Who no longer know what sin is. Who no longer know what repentance is. I don't want to pastor a generation where people do not know, my kids or whoever don't know what repentance is. Repentance is not just saying, sorry, I did the wrong thing. Repentance is deeper than that. You know, it's almost like it's been watered down, or that's okay, you're covered with grace. You're covered by grace, and that is true. That is true to know him. But grace does not give you the license to keep doing what you're doing. You can't be just all grace and not truth. We preached a very good sermon about grace and truth, and I'm so glad that this church is full of grace and full of truth. We as fully devoted followers of God need to understand that Jesus is full of grace and he's also full of truth. The tension. John 1:14, it says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Sin breaks the very heart of God, but the pathway is to repent, or repentance. You know what repent means? Now, I'm not going to give you a theological breakdown of all these or the Greek word of all that, but to repent is two words, is made up with two words in the English context. Re is to go back. Reverse or return. Pent is the prefix word for top, which is like the penthouse. So in essence, if you want to look at it, what this repent means is to go back to the top. To go back to the top. To live a higher level and to look at it from the perspective, from the higher perspective. The problem with repent or repentance is that we have confined it to people feeling bad, feeling shame, feeling guilty for what they've done and crying and rolling all over the floor. That's not what it's about. Repentance isn't just what you do wrong. It's a new perspective of life. And God is saying to us today, get back to the top. I want you to go on a higher level. I don't want you to stay down there and feeling sorry for yourself. For you, in order to move forward, yes, I know you've done the wrong thing, but get up, move forward. Go back to the top. Live higher, see things higher. That is how I made you. I have made you in my image. So I want to take you to a well-known parable in the Bible that beautifully illustrates the very nature and heart of God. Jesus told this parable, which he often does in the New Testament, but he often wants to drive something home when he talks about a parable. What is a parable, you may ask? Well, a parable is a story with a heavenly meaning. And there's so many angles I could take on this part of the passage, but I want to stick with the theme that I believe God has given me, and that's repentance. So Jesus told the parable of three things that was lost, and it's in Luke 15. Luke 15, the whole passage is in there. He talked about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and then the lost son. Now, in other translations, the parable of the lost son is being termed as the prodigal. But the term prodigal has two meanings. It could be being wastefully extravagant, using resources freely and recklessly. On another term, it says giving something on a lavish scale. But that's another sermon on its own, and I'm not going to touch that. But I just want you to know that there's that terminology. But we will stick with the word lost. When we read this parable, we tend to focus only one son, the younger son, who asked for his share of his wealth and then squandered it all and then came back home. But we will miss the overall context and the sense of this message if we just look at the younger son. The context of this parable in those days is that if you ask for your inheritance while your dad is still alive, that is just considered rude and inappropriate. Try that with your dad one time. I'll see how you go. And in those days, if you did that, you're just basically telling your dad, well, I just consider you dead. You're dead to me. So I want my share of the estate. Just give me what I have and then, you know, let's part ways. But we need to realize that the older son in this parable is as much as important as the younger son. Both are lost. Both are spiritually lost. The story reveals the destructiveness, the self-centeredness of the younger son. But the older son also reveals a certain part, and that's a part of religiosity. Any religious people that you know? Yeah? You know, he always compliant, you know, he's a perfect son. He doesn't do anything wrong. He never disobeys and everything. And so, but he, the motivation of that, he's trying to earn his father's love through works and deeds. And Jesus saying in that parable is that both are spiritually lost. Both the pathway of what they're doing, that they think that they can earn that their love, the Father's love, and connect with God in that way. Well, God says no. Both are lost. Did you know that you can be going to church, believing in God, and still be lost? And I hear a in the house, or an Could it be that this parable that Jesus is telling represents either one of us, the younger son or the older son? The younger brother asks for his inheritance. His view is that, I want to get out of here. There's no fun here. You're just a killjoy. I want to have freedom. I want to do my own thing. Haven't we at some stage been there? Maybe I'm the only one. The older brother, though, says, you know, never left the father. He's always with his side. He was faithful. He's never disobeyed. He was compliant. But his motivation was completely different, as we will see in the story. You know, sometimes our view of God is not incorrect, but is often incomplete. You know, he hates sin. But he loves the sinner. And sometimes for us, we just say, well, you are just so bad, so I'm going to label you. That's who you are, and that's that. We do not have that separation. He is slow to anger and abounding in love. And the Bible teaches us that. But he's also a consuming fire and a jealous God. Our view of God gets distorted and distracted because we don't understand what God's role is. And if we're really honest, sometimes we treat God as a genie. You know, rub him in and three wishes, or God, like, please save me from this one and I'll just follow you all the days of my life. Or we keep him on a shelf until some tragic or some crisis hits our life, and then boom, like, God, I need you, right? Come right now. But God is not like that. He wants to have a relationship with you. So let's look at Luke 15. And I want, and as I've already kind of told you some of the context of this story, but you can read through that in your own leisure if you want. But I want to jump into the Luke 15 verse 17 to 20 when the son came back. He came to his senses. So here we go. Verse 17, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Verse 20, he says, so he got up and went. You know, there's a point in each of our lives where we need to get up and go. We can't stay where we are. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. Now imagine this story. You just ask your dad for all of what you got shared in your estate. You squandered it off. You had wild living, as the Bible states. And then you come back and you just want to grovel and said, oh God, you know, there's a father, I've sinned against you. And you know, you rehearse this sort of speech. And the father, like a natural thing, I said, oh, I'm going to get you. I'm not going to forgive you whatsoever. You could be filled with anger. But what did the Bible says? He was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. That's grace and truth right there. So I have 3 points for you this morning about repentance. You ready? You taking notes? Repentance starts with revelation. Verse 17, it says, when he came to his senses, he reflected on who he was and where he was and who he belongs to. And the pathway home was to repent. Repentance always takes the lowest posture at the lowest position and at the lowest place. I'm sure most of us, if not all, have been in some lowest place. Repentance is not about groveling or staying low, but it's about getting up and turning to God and turning away from what displeases Him. Repentance doesn't take the posture of pride, with your chest puffed out and say, God, I can do this on my own. You might say, well, I keep doing the same old thing and keep falling into the same sin, and that's not repentance. That's repeating. When you repeat, you are stuck at the same level. And God will forgive you because that's who He is. He's a forgiving God. That's His nature. But when you genuinely repent, which means to go back to the top, it means you see how God sees you. And you see, well, I'm better than that. As he came to his senses, he said, I'm better than this. Why am I in this position? Why am I in this place? We're better than that. You know, it's not being arrogant, it's just taking a different perspective. Because you know that God can see you and He wants you to see Him the way He wants you to see Him, basically what I'm saying. But right now God is revealing some things to you. The question I want to ask is, what might be the things that God is revealing to you right now? Because at some point in time, repentance starts with revelation. You know, worry is a sin. Any worriers out there? Jealousy is a sin. Comparing yourself to another person is a sin. Gossiping is a sin. Working too much is a sin. Anger is a sin. Self-righteousness is a sin. Pride is a sin. Being too irritable, easily angered is a sin. Being judgmental is a sin. Basically anything that puts God second is a sin. So who's in front of you right now? It says, you shall not have any gods before me. It's one of the Ten Commandments. You know, we tend to categorize sin, big sin, little sin, because we judge it for how and interpret it for how we see it. But God doesn't categorically separate. Sin is sin. In Revelations 2:2, it says, I know your deeds. I know your perseverance. I know you don't tolerate evil things. But look what he says in verse 4. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Do you remember the time when you first met Jesus, like really met Jesus? How much this love that's in there, how much passion there was? Well, he's saying that get back, go back to the top. It says in verse 5, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do. Say, repent and do. The works you did at first, if not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. You don't want God going in there. Better that you do it yourself. So the son had a revelation. You know, he didn't just cry, he got up. Repentance is not when you cry, repentance is when you change. The son had a revelation about where he was at, and then he redefined himself. The second thing I want to talk to you about point is that repentance results in redefining. The son reevaluated and reexamined where he's at. When you have a revelation of Jesus, you need to redefine where you're going. You know, God reveals things to you so that you can do something about it. God reveals things to you so you can change. Repentance, like I said before, is not when you cry, it's when you change. Part of his redefining journey was the realization of getting up and going. Verse 20. It says, 18, I will set out and go back to my father. The part of the journey, repentance journey, is that you need to get up and move forward. Repentance is walking in a different direction. You know, true remorse has no thought about reputation but righteousness. The son probably thought, oh no, I can't go back because, you know, all the servants going to know what I've done and now I'm back. He didn't thought about that. And some of us, sometimes we don't get back to church. We just, you know, keep going around and round and round in circles because we are so prideful. We don't think we can go back. We don't think we deserve to be forgiven. Well, hello, Jesus has already done that for you. So, you know, you don't need to try and work it out yourself. Jesus has made a way. So if you're here this morning thinking, God, I can't come back. I'm too just so embarrassed of what I did. God is saying to you, yes, you can. I want you to get up from that low place and I want you to look higher and stop looking at the things that you've done, but look at me. Luke 15:18, it says, I will set out and go back to my father and say. He was at the lowest point, lowest place, and lowest posture. He was in the pig pen feeding the pigs. Right now, some of you are in the pig pen. You are playing with the pigs. Stop it. Stop playing with the pigs. That's not where you belong. That's not where God has called you to be and at. And God has been revealing things to you so that you can redefine your life. Today is not just about hearing a sermon. Today is all about activation. Today is just not an encounter moment, but today is all about changing your address. Have you ever moved house and you forgot to change your address? And then some other people that moves into that house keeps getting your mail? And then you go, oh, I'm not another one. And then you just put a line across it and what do you put in there? RTS, return to sender. Well, you know what? The devil, the enemy, the accuser of the brethren, you know what he does? He sends you mail that's not yours. He sends you mail and he will remind you of your past so that you can't concentrate your future. He will remind you of your addiction. He will remind you of your sin. He will remind you of your habits, your hang-up, everything that you've ever done so that you can focus on that and not focus on the things that he's given you. Well, when the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Remind him of his future. You don't belong here. RTS, go back. Go back where you belong. You know, the devil knows your name, but he calls you by your sin. But God knows your sin, but he calls you by name. The son said to his father, I have sinned against you, both heaven and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Don't go where you used to go, but go where you are called to go. Repentance, number three, results in restored relationship. Today, I want to encourage you to see the way God sees you, not at the bottom. Can you still see me? Not at the bottom, but at the top. The son had a revelation. He had a redefining moment and he can walk back in. But the problem is, in verse 19, he says, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. The father, knowing what he's talking about, the father corrected his repentance and said, "Thank you, son, for repenting. Yeah, I accept that. But don't stay low. Go higher." Then he said to his servant in verse 22, but his father, this is how he corrected his son's repentance. He said to his servants, "Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring on his finger and sandals for his feet." There's three things the father gave to the son, and it's an illustration of what God wants to give to you too. The robe, the ring, and the shoes. It's all about reinstating the son's position. Today, God wants to reinstate you from your and restore you from your original intention. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, where you are right now. It's just important where you are going, where you headed, where are you moving forward to. You know, the best robe, he didn't just give just an ordinary robe from Kmart or Target, Target or Big W. He the finest robe. And you know, the finest robe is a robe of righteousness. It's a robe of favor. It's a robe of many colors. It's mark. It gives a mark of each lost son or daughter. It's special to the Father. When you come to Jesus, you immediately are clothed in his righteousness, and the filthy rags of your own attempts to be right with him is no longer necessary. The ring, sign of covenant. You know, in the earthly days, this doesn't kind of, you know, it's just, yeah, another ring. But can I just say, the Father's ring is a sign of the covenant. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The ring, he has been made, that you have been made righteous. You start living like you are in covenant with the Almighty God. He is now your partner and your source. He is now your protector and your strength. You have a covenant that cannot be broken and by external force. He is yours and you are his. The third thing that God, that the Father gave the Son and he's wanting to give you too, is the sandals. The shoes are a sign of the journey. Walk out your relationship. You know, when you accept Jesus, don't just, you know, don't just stay there. Walk it out. Like in any relationship, when you have a boyfriend or girlfriend, you don't just say, "Oh, hi, yeah, I want to go out with you, I want to date you," and then just stay there. You go out, you walk it out, you walk out the love, you walk out the affection, everything else. The shoes are a sign of the journey that you have received righteousness and come out into covenant. Now you must walk this relationship out. And this is where a few of us miss the mark. They stop short of actually following Jesus in the daily walk of discipleship. The shoes will always lead you to the perfect will of God for your life. And the thought that I want to drive home this morning to you is that God's got you covered. God's got you covered. That's what grace is. That's what it looks like. The Bible says in Romans 2 that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. You know, God's been good to you. God's been so kind to you. The Bible says that if he gave to you what you deserve, you'll be dead by now. You'll be kaput. If God dishes out what you deserve, you'll be long gone. But can I encourage you today to see yourself the way God sees you, to see yourself made in the image of God, not because you are being up yourself, but because you know who you are and whose you are. Some people repent enough to leave the pig pen, but not high enough to see the promise. You may have repented and you may be walking it out, but is it high enough? Can you see God's promise? I wonder if you can identify or relate to one of those two sons. Which son do you relate to? One that was self-indulgent and self-destructive in his actions. You're not right with God and there is a tension. You know that in your heart right now. The older son was self-righteous and full of pride. He became angry and he refused to go in and join in the party, the Bible says. He thought that his loyalty and his faithfulness can earn him the father's heart. He complained. He was self-entitled. And his motivation to connect with the Father was all wrong. You know, you can be in close proximity in God's presence yet still miss the promise. You can be in church like you are right now. You can feel God's presence upon you, but you can miss the promise because you're doing it all wrong. You're trying to do your own thing. Luke 15:31, it says, "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours." I wonder how many of us can relate to that, where we get angry because we've done all the right things and feel unappreciated and was not fair, and you got hard done by. You know, I've got 3 children. I love them all. I love them equally. I don't love them equally, sorry. I love them uniquely. There's a difference. And God is waiting for both of the son that is self-indulgent and the other was a self-righteous and self-entitled. And he wants you to come to him. You can see he's a good, good father. His greatness, his goodness, and his grace is pursuing you today. You know he's at the gate waiting. He's at the gate waiting for you. He's a gatekeeper. God is always running towards you. He's never running away from you. His heart is for you. When the younger son came home, he didn't hesitate. The father held nothing back. He threw a party. He reinstated him. God is saying to you today, just come home. Just come home. Don't take your sin back. Just get right with me. And I will lead you to the path where you need to go. The enemy will say to you, look at your sin. God says, look at my son. And God did everything for you and I to have a relationship with him. He died on the cross and on the third day he rose again. And that is love. That is love. He's forgiven all of us. If you are a disciple and a fully devoted follower of God today, live from a place of repentance. Don't let repentance just be a word, a long forgotten word. Repent. When you know you're doing the wrong thing, repent. Repentance is turning from sin, turning to Christ, and turning to the cross. Go back to the top. Right now, while every head is bowed, I want to pray for you. I really do. And if you confess with your mouth, Jesus said that you'll be saved. So right now, no one's moving around. I just want to give some privacy to everyone. I'm going to keep my eyes open because I need to see you. But right now, just you know where you're not right with God. God's actually revealing things to you right now. Your heart is thumping so bad. And God is trying to knock at the door of your heart today. And I want us all to pray this prayer. You ready? Dear Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I'm sorry for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins. Thank you for dying for me and rising again. Please change me from the inside out. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. I believe and I declare that I am forgiven, that I am accepted, I am clean, I am made new, I belong, and I am your child, in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to meet you at the conclusion of this service. I just want to celebrate with you that you've made the right decision. And if you're online with us this morning and you prayed that prayer too, there's a comment on the field that says, I have accepted Jesus. You know, it doesn't matter how many times you've accepted Jesus. We are all sinners. We're all sinners saved by grace. It says in the Bible that we fall short of God's glory every day. And so we need to repent. And God just wants to get close to you. Close enough so that you can hear Him. Close enough so that you can hear what He's trying to tell you. We're going to finish with the song, Good, Good Father. And I want you to lean in and worship Him. And just marinate and bathe yourself the fact that He is a good, good Father. So why don't you lean in? Why don't you stand to your feet and join the creative team as we worship together? Thank you.